Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Absolute Worst Podcast. I'm Allison Royer.
And I'm Dana Powell.
Each week in our show, we seek and give free therapy by telling you our problems, asking you to tell us your problems, and we just pray to God that any of it works out.
We're basically the opposite of Oprah.
But you know what? I'm going to disagree again.
I mean, it changes every other week.
Because the thing about Oprah is she always, you've said before, like, she may not know the answer, but she'll find the person that does. And we have a very special guest today.
Yeah.
Now, I want to read your whole bio, but I want to introduce you so that you can actually talk.
Oh, okay.
Ben Jameson, ladies and gentlemen. Yay. Hi, Ben.
Hi, ladies.
Now, people don't know this, but we also have your wife, Sherry, here. We have not given her a microphone.
She's not allowed to talk.
She's just here for moral support.
She's very lovely.
She's lovely.
You know, she's a wonderful singer.
Well, no, we don't know because we wouldn't give her a fucking microphone. So how would anybody know that?
Sorry. Sorry about it.
Let me tell you a little bit about who Ben is and why he's here. Wrote a book. That's a dream of mine. I want to write
mine
a book.
Mine too, Allison.
Okay, you don't have to steal my dreams.
No, I'm not. But you know how we used to always find out we were the same person?
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah.
I really want to write a book. Okay. Yours is called Church-Free Spirituality, How to Craft a Spiritual Practice Beyond the Bounds of Religion.
Yeah.
Before, I'm going to keep reading because now it's going to get into the part where I have a lot of questions after each thing that I read.
Okay.
So I just want to talk really quick about why Ben is here. So on a previous episode, we had talked about how we wanted to do an episode about sort of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben, you're an avid listener of the show, as is your wife, Sherry, which thank you so much for your support. We so love it.
Yes.
And you sent us a message and said, hey, you mentioned you wanted to do this. I'm perfectly suited to be that person. And then you sent us all these details about yourself, and that's why you're here today to kind of talk to us about spirituality. And you have this really interesting, let me just tell you all these things about Ben.
Also, you're visiting from
Kansas City, which is the Deep South, as I
know.
Well, no, we're just north of the Deep South. So I have been
have you ever been to a birthing barn?
A birthing barn? No,
she's
I have
making
not.
He's
fun
pretending
of me
like
right
he doesn't
now.
Know what it is.
Now,
but I have been to the Deep South, aka Dana's hometown.
Are you? Do you know that guy I had the one night stand with? Because remember, he was from Kansas
no,
City.
No,
that guy.
Find him.
Everybody in Kansas City.
Everybody
knows that
guy. So you are a licensed. Now, a lot of people know we're licensed professional therapists.
No. No one knows that.
You took a second because you thought
because
we
I was
were.
Turning you down because you're so loud. No one knows that because it's not true, Allison.
Anyway, so you're actually a licensed spiritual counselor.
Mm-hmm.
What? So. Okay, wait. And it says through Centers for Spiritual Living. And then I wrote, what is that? So I want to know what a licensed spiritual counselor is. And I want to know what Centers for Spiritual Living is. Go.
Sure. So Centers for Spiritual Living is a New Thought metaphysical philosophy.
What?
So those are some big words, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a way of looking at religion somewhat, but mostly spirituality in a way that's very personal.
Okay.
That allows you to craft what works for you.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with agape?
Is that
Have you heard
sugar?
About that?
Love? Love?
No, it's big in Southern California. Michael Beckwith is
okay.
Big agape center.
Okay.
Oh. They came out of Centers for Spiritual Living.
So agape is a religion?
Agape is a spiritual center.
Okay.
But it means so love, right? The word?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. See, I thought it was literally an artificial sugar.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's agave. That's agave.
Wow.
What is wrong with you? Splenda?
I thought that's what I was talking about.
Like, what sweetener are you confusing this with?
So agave is an artificial sweetener, but agape is a spiritual center.
Well, agave actually comes from a cactus, so it's not necessarily an artificial sweetener.
Oh,
it's more of a natural sweetener. But yes, that is the main difference. The V is for sweetener.
I can't believe
the P is
knew
for
that.
Sweetener.
I know.
We're
what
both
an
like,
asshole.
Well, the Splenda? You're too sweet.
We're never going to get through this interview.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah, it's a spiritual life philosophy, and Centers for Spiritual Living, they function sort of like churches.
Okay.
So they tend to have Sunday services,
okay.
But it's very much not church in relation to having a list of dogmatic practices that you must adhere to.
So like,
to.
For instance, you could be a Christian, but you could go to Centers for Spiritual Living.
Absolutely.
You could be a Jew. But you
Absolutely.
Could you would enjoy what happens at Centers for Spiritual Living.
Right. So
okay,
there's a variety of people from a variety of backgrounds that will attend New Thought metaphysical centers.
Got it. So, okay, hold on. Let me keep going here.
Sure.
You have a master's degree in something called spiritual psychology. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that and how does one get that?
Well, at this point, I don't think it's possible to get
anymore. Oh, really? Okay. You got the last master's degree.
Well, not the last master's degree. And the school didn't close. They still do certificate programs.
But, okay.
So originally, psychology, the root of psychology is psyche, right? Uh-huh. Which relates to the spirit. So originally, psychology was much more focused on spiritual expression and the health of the spirit.
Uh-huh.
But then we got into more traditional medical things, and they had to quantify and label and be able to do research studies and prove that it works. So it got sort of outside of the realm of spiritual practice and more into a secular medical model.
Whoa.
So when you look at spiritual psychology, what it does is it takes what we know of as psychology, which is very valid and has a lot of good to it, and puts the spiritual aspect back in.
Wow.
So it's based on the premise that, you know, we've all heard it's sort of a little trite, but we're spiritual beings having a human experience,
right?
So if we start with the premise that we are spiritual beings, not human beings, but we are spiritual beings,
right?
And that within that we have everything we need to be able to handle everything that comes our way, how does that change how we work with psychology and how we work with ourselves? If the essence of what we are is unconditional love, and everything other than that is just the masks that we put over it, our own judgments that we have used to block it out, whether intentionally or unintentionally, how do we then relate to ourselves and to these ideas of psychology if that's the basis? We don't need to be fixed. We have all the tools that we need inside of ourselves to do whatever clearing work needs to do versus a more traditional method of psychology where you go to somebody to fix you instead of you fixing yourself along the way.
So like in Kansas City, if you're like, you're filling out a form and you put like profession, are you a psychologist? Like, do you have a No. Okay. No.
So the way that the program works, the majority of people who would go through this program would do coaching, personal coaching, things of that nature. They used to have a licensure track many years ago.
Okay.
But they dropped that. And then the sad part was they, it's the University of Santa Monica. Is the school.
Okay.
And they had a very amazing experiential-based curriculum. So rather than sitting in lecture for 8 hours and then doing just a little bit of practice, you would have a 30-45 minute lecture on a technique and then would break up into groups of three people and work the technique on yourself.
So like if you, what do you consider to be your profession?
My profession, I am a spiritual author, speaker, teacher.
Yeah.
He's a great speaker. He's got some videos online.
I saw him.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched him. Yeah. I stalked you. That's sort of my specialty. Now it says, so you guys are kind of like the Partridge Family, but with like
two people?
Spirituality. Because it says that you and your wife travel as an inspirational duo.
Yeah, so because she's a singer.
So, right. That's what I'm saying. The Partridge
Family.
Say
what kind of singer she is. I mess it up. Like,
why are you pointing so aggressively?
You mess up the word opera?
Yeah, well, of course she sings opera, but she uses it with your spirituality teachings. She used to say a name. She's right here. You can't talk.
Sherry, can
I don't
you just
know.
Tell us what it is? Nobody knows. Dana made it up.
No.
Inspirational.
Holistic opera. A holistic singer.
Oh, boy. We got there.
Finally.
Gotcha.
So what does that mean? So, like, by hearing her songs, you would feel better? Because like holistic is like sort of natural healing, right?
Yes.
And so what makes that like a holistic song or a holistic singer?
It's not the song though, right?
It's more about the way that she presents it and what she brings to it. So she also has a master's degree in spiritual psychology.
Okay.
With an additional emphasis on consciousness, health, and healing.
Okay.
That was an additional year of study. But so the way that she shows up and the way, it might sound a little woo-woo and weird, but the way that she channels the energy of the song.
Okay.
Through her voice, through the way she shows up is astounding.
Well, I'll tell you right now, we're going to make you sing before you leave, and that's going to be our outro music.
Oh, is that putting you on the spot? She has a beautiful voice. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's all right. I already said you're doing it, so I don't really have
honestly, this is the rudest thing I'm about to say.
What?
Uh-oh.
I have so many Sherry thoughts going through my head because I'm like, she helped me when my child was a newborn. She let me take naps and came
aww,
over.
Oh, that's so
used
sweet.
It to help with her class. Like, she got class credit when helping me. And Then also she does this show that teaches people about the Holocaust, and she sings. It's an opera she does, and she travels to schools and teaches children. Like, I'm in love with Sherry right now, and Ben's our guest, so I'm
you're
a
in love
fuckwad.
With both. They're an they're a spiritual duo.
They really
because
are
even
wonderful
though Ben
together.
Listens to our show and Sherry listens to our show, you've known them.
I do. Yes.
Yeah. And how long have you guys known each other?
Oh gosh. Well, 15 Sherry.
Years.
Yeah.
And how did you guys meet?
Because Ben is my writing partner's best friend.
Oh, right. Okay. She's always talking about her other partner. It's super awkward. Yeah. Just like her other
Paul's
therapist.
Real mad that you're on here and he's not.
It says you were raised in a spiritual life philosophy. What does that mean?
Yeah. So, so New Thought Metaphysics, that's the overarching term for the spiritual life philosophy.
Okay.
I use that term instead of religion because they are so different.
Okay.
And people are afraid of religion a lot of times.
So Centers for Spiritual Living is one of the main branches of New Thought that's currently working in the world. The other is Unity.
So when you say you grew up in that, does that mean you went to school there? Or it was like your, I guess you wouldn't use the word church. Like, what would you call it?
I call it a spiritual center. Church is also accurate.
So
they function like churches.
So when you say you grew up in it, it means you attended there weekly, not that you got your education from there.
Well, slightly more than went there weekly. My family moved to Unity Village, Missouri, which is the world headquarters for the Unity movement.
Wow.
When I was two.
Wow.
Specifically because Unity was there. The previous thought was that my dad was going to move us to the wilderness and we were going to harvest methane from the latrine to run
Excuse
the truck
me?
When we had
Pardon
to go.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
What does that
you were
mean?
You were going to harness poop fumes
to run the truck when we had to go into town because my dad wanted to get away from society.
This is incredible.
Wow. I know.
But did you go to public school or is this part of your education?
No, I went to public school.
You did. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So then friends of his, thank God, went to Unity for a workshop and came back and said, hey, they say the same thing you've been saying
They're
all
like,
your life.
You don't have to put poop wind in to start your car. You can
live
just
in the
go
woods
to
off
this
the grid.
Church.
Right. Right.
So Narrowly avoided living your lives on poop wind.
Yeah. So we moved there when I was two. My family worked there.
Wow.
My family actually now all of a sudden still works there again.
Okay.
So, you work there, right?
I work there. My wife works there. My dad works there.
Isn't that amazing?
And all of that happened in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And your dad was a Unity minister.
Right. So Unity being the other main branch, so to speak, of New Thought. They have churches or spiritual centers, whatever term works
best
for
Is there one
you.
In Los Angeles?
There are several in Los Angeles.
Oh, damn!
They're smaller here, but there are, there's one in Culver City, there's one in Burbank, there's one in Pasadena, there's one in La Crescenta.
My writing partner's mother is a Unity minister up north.
Okay, so now the thing about, because you talked a lot about, so you kind of always grew up this way and sort of without, quote unquote, religion. Right? Like, so you didn't, it doesn't, like, you didn't have to have that internal struggle, or maybe you did.
Well, I did, because I grew up in the Deep South.
Right,
or just north of the Deep South.
Right.
Did you sing Jesus Loves Me?
Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So?
Uh-huh.
That one?
Yeah.
I can't remember any more of it. Though the one that I do remember.
That's a whole song, isn't it? Is there more?
The one that I do remember, which I think is just absolutely hysterical and awful, is the part where it says red or yellow, black or white. They are precious in his sight.
Yeah, that's Jesus Loves the Little Children.
I'm sorry. I don't want to make this all about me, but can I just please sing the one church song I know?
Yes, please.
One?
This is the one I know. It kind of goes into another one, so you're just going to have to
listen. Be careful not to sing too much of it in case there's copyright. Maybe hum it.
I doubt that there is.
Maybe
it was like
also
a song I heard at camp.
For our preference.
It's going to go like this. No, you have to hear the words. That's how it goes. Okay, ready?
Don't
stop me because it has to go through.
Don't stop me. That's not an option.
It goes like this. Peter was a young boy. Peter was a scout. Peter got the measles and Peter petered out. Woe me, woe. Woe me, stay. Ain't got time to kiss you now. Mules run away.
That is not
Wait,
a church
not
song. That's not a church song.
Well, it's fun to be a sinner, but you'll never be a winner without Jesus. You're stuck in the mud. Yeehaw! Take him out of your glove compartment. Stick him in your love compartment. Stick him on the dashboard of your truck.
I have a serious question.
Stick Jesus in your love compartment?
Did you?
Is that intended
is
to
that
masturbate
a country
with
song?
Jesus?
Or is that a Jesus song? I can't handle you right now. Stop slapping the table.
You know how, like,
she's literally crying. I'm so glad Sherry's gonna sing.
Because we have to recuperate.
She said put Jesus in your love compartment.
I know. I know.
What you does know that how mean? Some things just get stuck in your... I've known that song since I was... I don't know where I learned it or why I know it, but it's just the one church song I know.
It's not heightened spirituality by any means. It's really not.
So what do you identify in addition with, like, a religion?
I wouldn't say that I identify with a religion at all. Okay. One of the wonderful tenets of spirituality is that you can take what works for you and get rid of the rest. And right. In fact, if you're wise, that's what you do.
Right.
And if somebody presents something and they say it works, you don't take it on face value. You try it out. And if it works for you, great. If right. It doesn't, adjust it so it does, or get rid of it.
But, like, potentially we couldn't, like, do... So if I were a Catholic, mm-hmm. and you can't necessarily do that with Catholicism or other religions, right? It's like, we all believe blank. We all believe Jesus was the Son of God. We all believe that, you know, this is truly the blood of Christ. We all believe that if you're saved, you go to heaven. Mm-hmm. We all believe that Jesus was a nice guy, but not the Son of God. Like, whatever those beliefs are. Whereas with what you're talking about, you might have some basic tenets, but it's not like we all believe blank and that's why we're all here, other than sort of like a course of action for living.
Right. Well, I would say if there were some general tenets like that, it would be whether or not you like the word God, spirit, the universe, love, whatever yeah. word you use, mm-hmm. that's the only thing there is.
Okay.
Period.
Got it.
Which so is you a higher power.
So right. does that mean okay. that you can't... Okay, sorry, keep going.
So you and I... Mm-hmm. are expressions of that.
Okay.
God is all there is. I am that.
Right.
To the degree that I am that, uh-huh. that I, if God is all there is and God is the only thing existing and I exist, then I must be part of what that is.
Uh-huh.
So my whole spiritual work is about remembering that.
Okay.
And finding out where I have placed the barriers in my own consciousness uh-huh. to recognizing my higher potential, my higher self, my higher awareness, whatever that might be.
Right.
Catholicism typically says Jesus is the only Son of God.
Right. You're not buying it.
New Thought says Jesus absolutely was the Son of God. Mm. And so am I, and so are you, and so is Sherry, and so is everybody.
Got it.
There's nothing different about us other than that he understood at a higher level than we do.
Got it.
What that means.
Got it.
See, I learned that that's saying that we are God, making ourselves idol, and that's why we don't do yoga.
What?
That's how I was brought
so
up.
That because you weren't Catholic, you were just straight
up
Christian.
I grew up Assembly of God.
What is that?
Holy rollers,
like evangelicals.
Evangelical, okay. Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got mm-hmm. it. So I don't have any point of reference on anything, but I do yoga. So I don't know. Maybe that's sort of my
sinner.
So we are going to answer some questions with yes. Ben here,
yes.
and we are going to keep learning more about you and keep learning more about Sherry that no one else will know because she doesn't have a microphone.
I'll just tell him about Sherry.
If you have any questions that you ever want to ask us, you never know who might be answering them. You can email us at absoluteworstpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to be uber anonymous, you can go to our website, absoluteworstpodcast.com, and you can click on contact. You can send us messages through Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're going to put Ben's link to his book and
yeah.
his website and all that good stuff mm-hmm. all in our show notes.
And everything that Ben and Sherry stand for, like, it's so uplifting and encouraging and
let me tell you what I like the most.
What?
Because I think Dana. Sometimes, I don't know if I think I, you, no, God, no.
I can't
no.
believe you tried to ignore me and you were so negative after. I was like, everything that Ben and Sherry stand for is so encouraging and uplifting and sweet and kind.
I think people get intimidated by religion or they get intimidated by spirituality. Mm-hmm. I know I do. I think I told about how I was speaking. I went to my cousin's wedding at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans, which is like the most beautiful, most famous church there. And then I found out at the last minute that I was supposed to do a reading and there was like a priest and I just was like really overwhelmed. But what I love about you guys is you obviously like our podcast, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Right? Like, because yeah. I don't find myself to have any spiritual attributes.
I don't find you to either.
So it's incredible that you support us and thanks for being on our show. And we're super eager to hear what, you know, so you can, you're
he's
real
gonna
licensed
have, like,
professional
real,
therapist. Yeah, like we're like
grounded advice for people.
Now, I had also asked I thought maybe you had a question that you wanted us to answer, but we'll get there.
Okay.
We're going to get there because I know what you're thinking is, God, my life is in shambles, even though I have a master's degree. You know, Allison is super smart. She's a licensed professional therapist.
All of this
How
is
can
false.
I get... Oh, we're still going to fix your problems, though. You'd be surprised what we can do.
You'd be surprised how lucky we get.
This is subject line guy problem. My wife and I have two young kids. Okay. We have been fighting a lot, but trying to make it work. We sleep in separate rooms, and she says she needs time, which I am trying to give her. But my real question is, what should my expectations be? We've been married over 10 years, together for longer. I'm over 40, and we have two kids. What is marriage supposed to look like? Is there a bullseye? At this point, is it just having someone to help you with life, or should it be more?
Mm.
Super good. Do you want to take the first crack at it, Ben?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me and what should marriage look like is that it shouldn't look like anything.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It should look like whatever it works, whatever it looks like for you, whatever works in your situation. Now, there certainly has to be a certain level of loving and connection and sharing there. I wouldn't necessarily, you know... When marriage borders on roommates, then there's an
issue. We've already talked about you have to have sex.
Yeah.
We've determined that you have to have sex with people.
I think he was probably talking about like sharing a bedroom.
Were we not talking about sex? I thought we were.
But even like, you know, whatever marriage looks like for you, and it's not going to be the same throughout your entire marriage.
Right. No. Right.
So
peaks and valleys.
What's it supposed to look like? I don't know, man. Whatever works for you guys. Right. Have the conversation.
Well, and it obviously sounds like there's a problem right now. Right. They're sleeping in separate bedrooms. They're not seeing eye to eye.
And that could be because he's mentioned two or three times kids. And right. Maybe he doesn't want to say the kids are sleeping with her because that happens in many relationships.
Right.
Maybe someone in this room.
Me? What did I do?
Me. My kid sleeps with me.
Oh, right.
And sometimes
right.
I'm like, sorry, Dan Tipton.
Right.
Gonna have to couch it, I guess.
Right.
He got here first.
Right. And it says, we have been fighting a lot, but trying to make it work. And so I know for me, sometimes in my marriage, it's like we have the same argument over and over and over. And yes. Sometimes there are those times where it's kind of a breaking point, right? Like you don't see eye to eye for whatever reason. And I think the question is like, what then? Do you know what I mean? Like if he's invited her to sleep back in his bed, if he's tried to ask the questions, if he's attempting intimacy and you're still not connecting, you know, to some degree, when do you leave a marriage? How do you, if you can't get the communication, like, what do? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think they're at that point where it's like, it doesn't sound like it to me anyway from
right.
his email. But what I would say is something we talk about a lot too is finding the excitement again
right.
and treating each other special again.
Right.
Like, just asking about going out dancing. Like, hey, do you want to, I'm just using that as an example,
right.
but like, I want to take you out for dinner. I got us a babysitter.
Right.
Let's just look at each other and chew food.
Right.
You know? Like, it's the simplest basic things that you kind of lose over the years
right.
and when you have children especially.
But, like, what do you do when... And I have a little inside information on this particular person, so that's why I keep leading
stop
it back
sharing
to this.
That.
I can't help it. I just know things.
Ugh.
If there's a point in a marriage where it seems untenable, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Or if the other person isn't saying, like, I want to get a divorce, but isn't doing whatever you think that work should be.
Right.
How do we get out of those stale places in our marriages, you know?
Yeah. So one of the things that Sherry and I did with our marriage is that rather than doing vows, so to speak, mm-hmm. we did agreements.
Oh, okay.
So we very carefully crafted what we were agreeing to in our marriage, how we were agreeing to be with each other.
Okay.
How we were going to support each other, how we were going to allow space for each other.
And how long have you guys been married?
We've been married 5 years.
Okay.
So
I was there. Humble brag.
Okay. Feels like a real brag, but okay.
So look at the agreements you have around your marriage, spoken or unspoken.
Right.
We wrote ours out. They hang on the wall. We see them all the time. We know that we can refer to that. And if we say, hey, I need to work on agreement number three here,
right.
what's, you know, can you
and
help
so
me
And so if you
that?
Haven't done that yet, is there, is
Now's
this
the time?
Time. Yeah,
yeah.
To sort of articulate
that's a good
that.
Idea.
So what are some of yours?
I am loving you unconditionally to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
So the intention is unconditional loving, but we recognize within that we're doing our best.
Right.
Because we're all
room.
Human.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I am. Huh?
Sherry's here.
I am a loving witness to your life. So
love that.
Yeah. So what does that
everybody
mean?
Everybody
wants
a witness.
Right.
Everybody. That's single.
But to
so
me,
my
too,
single
though.
Friends say that to me. I just want someone to witness my life.
And it also sounds like, and maybe this is just my perception of what you just said, is like, it is their life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like in a marriage, sometimes it feels like, we were just talking about this in another episode, that you know, sometimes it's things that directly affect us and we need to speak up. But other times, like, our partner is just living their lives. And, mm-hmm. and we don't always get to have a say in that, you know?
Correct.
Right. And so that's what it
means for me.
That's
the loving witness part.
Right. I love that.
She has her own life.
Right.
Now, we have agreements that we're going to live a lot of that life together.
I am a loving witness of your life.
I am making a safe space for you and the feelings you feel.
Right.
You know, I'm allowing you the space to be who you need to be and who you want to be. That's us. Now, with this couple, they may have a lot of unspoken agreements that they're operating from without even realizing they're operating
from. Totally. Those are expectations,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And a
right.
lot of, you know, it's interesting. Humble brag. We've never had a fight.
Nah, what? Not buying it.
We've never had an
nice
argument.
Nice meeting you, Ben.
No, because...
Get Sherry in the chair.
Sherry, get over the microphone.
Come around.
There's no possible. But you've had disagreements.
We have had conversations. We have had disagreements, but we have never had a fight because we...
I'm not buying it.
We own our own stuff.
Right.
Okay. So a conversation. So they talk about we fight all the time.
Right.
So my question is, why are you fighting and why aren't you conversing?
Right.
What is it that you are... again, unconscious expectations that the other person doesn't even know they're being held to.
Right.
You may not even know you're holding them to that because you haven't stepped back and looked at what those are.
Right.
And if you come from a place of not, you did this, you did that, you,
right.
but I language,
mm-hmm.
I feel this way. I'm having a hard time with this. Ownership of what your experience is.
Mm-hmm.
So often we unconsciously put our experience on other people and blame them for it
ownership
rather than simply
of your
saying,
own experience. That's interesting.
This
yeah.
is my experience. And by the way, your experience is 100% your responsibility and your authority.
Now, can I just continue to be like the devil's advocate?
Sure.
Do you believe in the devil, number one? Is that a real thing?
No.
Okay. Not great. Part of this
okay,
conversation.
Well, okay, I just was wondering.
Okay.
So, because obviously you guys are enlightened and you guys have these agreements and you got to get them on your, you already did that. This isn't obviously the experience of most marriages, mm-hmm. right? And so, fuck, I forgot my question. Oh, so it stands to reason that we're going to have fights. We're going to have arguments, you know, like for the most part, I know I do. I get impassioned and emotional and upset and whatever, because maybe we're not always, I was already thinking, I mean, you know, obviously I'm a, like kind of a dark thinker, right? So already you're thinking agreements. If there's any, you know, I'm just thinking like, great, there's going to be some dude that's like anal. It's number one. It's on my agreement.
Oh my God.
We've already, but don't you think that could be like misconstrued of like.
How in the world have we gone from such an enlightened
because
conversation
I feel like,
directly to
because
anal.
How do you agree? Because you guys, what I'm saying is like, you guys are on the same page and it sounds like for to some degree you have been, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't always where we come from in marriages. So how do you even agree on the agreements? Do you know what I mean? Because I can see them getting
talking,
into tasks.
Right?
Right.
Well, and that's, yeah, start
yeah,
talking.
Start talking.
And it's kind of another level of agreement, but set the guidelines around what the agreements are.
Right.
Like if you have an agreement around, like, an agreement around what types of sex you do, I like that, that is so low in terms of priority.
Sure. For you. But
no.
There's some guy out there that's like, not my list. That's what I said. I wanted. And they're from the deep South. What? It's commonly known that most anal likers are
stop
in the
it.
Deep South.
Stop okay, it. Stop it.
But it's not to say like to say that we've never had an argument doesn't mean that I've never been upset, that
right.
I've never been angry.
Right.
I just don't put that on her. I
right.
know it.
Right.
So and then
I do too. And then I bottle it up and then I yell.
Right.
But so, yeah. So to start with the agreement, you know, how do you do that? You start the conversation.
Can we need to do an Instagram about I am bearing witness to your life. That's my favorite.
I am
Did
a
you
loving
write it
witness
down?
To your life.
No, I'm too busy. Okay, I'm going to ask
I'm
another one. This is
witness
to your life.
You better remember
Dana,
it.
I'm a
I
loving
won't.
Witness to your life.
I don't know if I find you always loving.
This is subject line advice.
Look,
dear Dana and
argue.
Allison.
We didn't argue.
We didn't argue. Oh. We're just going to put open parentheses and Ben. And Sherry, I love your show so much. It's great to hear advice from real licensed professional therapists.
Thank you. That's not true.
I have a question for you. I grew up in a pretty religious home, and so being gay isn't really talked about. Mm. Or if it is, it's a same-sex attraction. Ugh. I'm pretty much out to all my coworkers and friends. How do I become more open with my immediate family about my sexuality without it turning into a discussion on what God thinks and how I need to remain abstinent for my whole life?
Doi.
Spoiler alert, I'm not a virgin anymore. And examples of godly young men who also struggle with their homosexuality. Oh, Oh, I think maybe he meant any examples of godly young men who also struggle with their homosexuality. I'm also scared that if I do meet a guy that I'll be too scared to bring him home. I need help. Keep up the good work, B. P.S. If you need any more info, just let me know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
So I actually did go through, since I knew you were coming, and I tried to find stuff in our emails about religion, about spirituality. So this is a big question. And Dana, you kind of grew, like, what, growing up, what were you taught about being gay?
Yeah, I definitely have probably a different experience than a lot of people. I was taught that it was a sin and it was wrong. And I always, even as a child, had issue with that. I felt like God didn't make mistakes. Like, why would he make someone broken?
There's so many good ones on the show.
And I felt like also, you know... It's I don't want to get into discussions about the Bible and
Okay, just give us a spoiler, because I don't know anything about the Bible, so I want to hear about it.
I was taught that in the Bible it says homosexuality is wrong.
Because it says a man doesn't lie with another man, right?
Yes, correct. Now, I didn't feel that way. And also when I got into college, this was when I was very young, I didn't feel that way. When I got into college, I started working with theater people and there happened to be a lot of homosexuals in that arena.
Right.
And I was like, no, this is who these people are.
Right.
They were made this way, and God doesn't make trash.
Right.
And he wouldn't make them that way and then expect them to not live what they feel and who they are.
Right.
Their true selves. So I've always felt that way. And then later, I don't know if I've ever told this.
Go on.
Later in life, I'm just going to say someone in my family.
Okay.
At the risk of embarrassing someone, said to me, you know how you're always saying that gay people were born that way?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't know if that's something I'm always saying specifically. In those terms, but I get what you mean. Yes. And they said, I think you might be right. And I said, oh, really? Well, what made you feel this way? And they said, I was watching The Pet Psychic, which we can talk about later.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gay parrot on there. And I thought, huh, a parrot wouldn't choose to be gay. And I just said, I have also heard there are a lot of gay raccoons.
This is so crazy.
I was like, whatever it takes you to get there, fine. I'm on board. I'll jump right in that boat. I don't care.
So no.
So I also happen to have someone in my family who is transitioning. And, you know, it's a very scary thing. Someone just posted on my Facebook yesterday, not my timeline, but like in my newsfeed, that someone else outed them to their family. Mm-hmm. I do think it's really important, like, this person has to be aware that when the conversation comes up, because his family's religious, they are going to relate it to God.
And I think this is where, you know, it's so cool because we have three totally different perspectives.
Yeah.
We have someone who's very spiritual. We have someone who was
that
raised
was Ben,
in
she pointed out.
Yeah, exactly. We have someone who was raised in quintessentially, you know, Christian household.
Right.
And then they have me, who was really just an alcoholic, you know, like that. I don't really have, I didn't have anything to rebel against, or my parents were singers. They kind of sang in church. And so I like went to church, but I guess I didn't retain anything. And I didn't grow up in a house where there were, these are the beliefs. It was like, this church has the best choir. Let's just go there.
Right.
And so I think sometimes a common criticism of sort of quote unquote religion is the hypocrisy, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the sort of idea of God is everything. God loves all his children. And the sort of justification I've heard a lot is, well, yes, love the sinner, not the sin, right? Which continues to suggest that this is
wrong,
a sin. So I've met a lot of people who are gay, but Christian or Catholic or whatever else. And I think, you know, to answer this question, we want to hear what Ben has to say too. It's going to be hard because I just want to say to him, number one, you can still belong to whatever religion you feel speaks to you. And just like Ben sort of said, like, take what you want and leave the rest. You know,
and
the Bible can be interpreted so many different ways. And just because if somebody says that's their interpretation, it doesn't need to be yours.
And there was an meme, because people don't like it when we say that
meme.
Word, that I posted one day that said, and I thought this was brilliant, and this is what I would give to this person as well. You don't have to attend every fight you're invited to.
Right.
So like when speaking about their sexuality to their family, they already know how they're going to respond.
Right.
You don't have to accept the invitation to that argument.
Right. And you don't have to defend who you inherently are as a person.
Right.
And so to some degree, it's like you don't live with your parents. It doesn't sound like you're going to live your life to the best of your ability. And they're either going to be on board for that or not. Now, in where you guys, I keep wanting to call it a church, but like, so what are the beliefs about being gay?
So it's very similar to what Dana was saying. I think Dana said it very well. If God is all there is, which is the primary tenet, mm-hmm. and there is a person who is a homosexual, mm-hmm. who is transgender, who is whatever, that's exactly how they need to be in right. order mm-hmm. to have the experience that they need to have to further understand themselves as that divine presence.
Right.
So all of it is good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with it. There is no... heaven and hell are a state of mind. Mm-hmm. It doesn't forget about real estate in the afterlife. They're right here, right now, present for everybody all the time.
Right.
It's how you put yourself in that experience that matters. So there's nothing in a spiritual context that would say because you're homosexual, you're bad or you're going mm-hmm. to hell. It right. would say you're homosexual. Fantastic. I love you. How's that going? What can we do to support you? What are you learning about yourself from right. this experience?
So what does this, how should this person respond when that's not what they're getting back from their family?
Yeah. So the best thing that comes up for me is there's a great quote that is easy to misunderstand and hard to live.
Oh, God.
But it's allow people the dignity of their own experience.
Well, I know that one, right?
So
I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
So
I like that one.
His parents, in their religious experience of him as a sinner,
mm-hmm.
he can't try to change them.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going
to
have
to. He has to allow them the dignity of that own of their own experience,
right.
even though it feels undignified.
Even
and the best
if they're
way that,
wrong.
Yeah. Well, and we were kind of talking about this in a previous episode about, you know, the girl who had her brother and the two kids. And we were sort of saying, like, that's their experience. You know, it's funny
right.
because, you know, it's a version of what we maybe weren't able to perfectly articulate. I've heard that certainly before. I don't know if I've said it on this show, but...
You haven't.
But that's sort of what we were saying to that girl is like, you know, your nephew is going to have his own experience and maybe you don't get to sort of judge
it,
what that is.
And we
is.
Told her it was kind of none of her business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you said it much nicer.
And then, no, totally. Yeah, you nailed that shit.
And the other part of it too is you, I'm assuming what he wants to receive is love.
Right.
Yes.
And
so
acceptance.
That's what he needs to bring to the conversation. As
right.
hard as it can be, especially when somebody is, you know, and I don't have this issue, right?
Right.
So I can't really speak from a level of understanding like
right.
he would have, but bringing love to that as best as you can, knowing they're going to have the experience they have, they're going to react the way that they react, and you can just even just in your head repeat the mantra, I love you, I love you, I love you,
right.
I love you, while they're doing whatever they do,
right,
just to keep yourself in that loving state,
right,
and to express loving to your parents. That's going to be what makes it easiest and most peaceful for him going through that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's that there's, I don't know what else you can do.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes people will surprise you. You know, I have a girlfriend who, when I first met her, was straight. And then she eventually came out of the closet. She too grew up in the Deep South. She's mm-hmm. from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And grew up in a very Christian home. And it wasn't just about, I mean, it's hard enough to grapple with, am I or am I not? You know, am I gay? Am I not? Am I gay or not? And for anybody who's, this is what I said to her at the time, but I was like, you know, this is going to sound really weird, but I've literally had sex with a woman. I've never wondered if I'm gay. Like, there's not been a part of me that's ever. So there's something about, I think, and, you know, I talk about being an alcoholic. I don't think there's a lot of non-alcoholics that are going, am I an alcoholic? Am I not an alcoholic? It's like, I think once those kinds of questions come into your mind, maybe, you know, that might be a sign potentially.
Right. And when you're, you know, grappling with it makes me think someone has told you that that's wrong or you're
right.
broken or because it just is who you are.
And also like just living with a secret in and of itself,
ugh.
Whatever the secret is can be so damaging,
it's
right?
That heartbreaking.
It's very suffocating to feel like you can't be your true self to some degree. I mean, so for whatever it's worth, buddy, we support you.
Yeah. and to speak to like bringing someone home to meet his family too,
right.
just real quick, like this person's going to be your partner and they're in it with you no matter what. And I like when you said sometimes people surprise you.
Yeah.
I feel like if he finds that person that loves him unconditionally and is in this partnership with him for the better or worse, you know, his family, that love is going to be perceived by other people.
Yeah.
And your family ultimately just wants you to be happy.
Hopefully. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, there's always those fears, right? They're going to disown me. They're going to not like me. And unfortunately, and sometimes that's the truth.
Yeah.
But it's like you have to weigh the pros and cons of, like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like,
it doesn't seem like that's his situation.
Basically, it's like the thing is you want your family to have compassion about who you really are. And the best I could say is try to have compassion for them, too, because those lessons we learn sometimes, like you kind of grew up with Dana. And it's great that you were able to have the frame of mind of, like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't seem right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you're taught a certain way, that's just what you know. That's the only information you've been provided with. So it may take them a second to come along and try to have a compassion for their experience, right, like you would want them to have compassion for yours, because it may not be that on the day that you say, like, oh, my God, I'm gay, they're going to be like, oh, that's great. Don't worry about it. Forget about Jesus. You know, it may take them a second.
It may take them,
And, you know, just like Ben said, just allow them the dignity of their own experience and do your best to continue to be a good son. But at the same time, you know, we've already talked about how I don't like to talk about, like, feelings or boundaries or triggers or anything like that. Right. But, like, you know, you have to. It's like, because all I could think about was, like, because you need to live your best life.
I'm sorry, Allison. I didn't understand you clearly. You have to have what?
I don't know. I was just saying that, you know,
he might have some restrictions around what.
Ugh, you get what I mean. Yeah.
But definitely give what you want to receive.
Exactly.
If you want to receive compassion, bring the compassion to it. Because, you know, if you want something good at a potluck, look, make sure you bring it.
Yes. Right? Oh my God, you have, like, these zingers. Damn.
Because he's a speaker and we're just a couple of weirdos with microphones in an apartment.
It's true. It's like our podcast could be so much fucking shorter because it takes us 47 minutes to try to explain something that you're like, yeah, just, like, bring good
stuff.
And
then I have to make a character about it. I have to find a place for what's going on.
And then we have to get an Instagram to, like, really send it home. Jesus. I want to get to another question because this is good fucking shit. This is good real estate. Subject line, screaming priest.
Ooh.
Hi, Dana and Allison and Ben and Sherry. Hope you're both keeping well. This is a foreigner for sure.
Love
hope you're
it.
Both keeping well.
Love it.
I love it.
It's been a long time since we've shouted out Australia.
I'm
Europe.
Still loving the show, laughing my ass off to it every week consistently. So I'm writing to you about an issue I have with my priest. This has just happened, so I am super angry at the moment.
Mm.
So bit of background to the story. As I mentioned before, I am Irish, living in the UK.
Nice. We love our Irish friends.
With my husband and two little girls. The eldest is due to start school nursery next September, and as we are Irish, we thought a good old Catholic school would be the way to go. How fucking wrong we were. We are not holy Joes by any stretch of the imagination, but we go to mass every week and say our nighttime prayers and in general try to be good people, blah blah blah. So to go to Catholic school here, you have to get a letter signed from your parish priest to say he knows you and you are a practicing Catholic. We thought that would be a piece of piss. I fucking love these.
I know.
Broad. She's the best. We thought that would be a piece of piss because he christened both our girls and we did our marriage course with him. Well, I call him today to ask about signing the forms. And when I told him who I was, he said, the part-time Catholic. And I was like, I don't understand. There's so many typos in this email because she's so mad.
She's livid.
And I was like, I don't understand what you mean. So he went on to explain that because sometimes we leave mass before the end, usually because one of the kids is having a hissy fit about something and we continue to and want to let people worship in peace, that
or
we do not count.
There's a lot of people in the parking lot. You just need to get out.
Stop interrupting her email.
I'm mad for her already.
That we do not count as practicing Catholics, and he wouldn't sign the form for us. He continued to scream at me down the phone like I was a child and told me once I was ready to be fully committed to going to mass that he would reconsider signing the form. Seriously? Fuck him.
Oh,
can you do
God.
That? Just do that line, Dana, from her email, because you would do it better.
Yeah, but you already blew out our speakers.
Okay, can you just do it anyway? Seriously,
no.
Fuck him.
Ready? No, because then you'll give me a Neva's corner.
Dana, will you please, for this Irish lady, say seriously fuck him? You'll do it so well.
And I want a Neva's corner, so
ready,
please.
Go.
Seriously? Fuck him.
That's right. That's what we needed. I am so mad. My immediate section was... Oh, reaction was to hang up and cry. Pathetic, I know.
Not no, it's pathetic. Not.
But now I am starting to calm down. I want to know what you guys think I should do. Should I suck it up and play his game to get form signed? Or should I go do what my gut reaction is and find a new parish? Send her to a state school and let her do Sunday school in a new parish. Ugh, my head is melted. Please help. P.S. I know this isn't the usual sort of problems you deal with, but even if you had any advice, if you don't want to read out on my extremely niche problem, haha. And I rate Irish. Love you both. I have a lot of opinions. And stop this is what screaming. I think is so funny about this, right? She grew up Catholic. She wants her children to go to Catholic school. She's having a personal experience wherein Catholicism is like unjust and not like accepting. not accepting, but she still wants to send her kids to this Catholic school. And to some degree, and we're, you know, like, maybe this was a blessing in disguise. You know, maybe this isn't the parish you're supposed to be. I truly believe even within structured religion, even if it's like you can find the good Catholic Church, you can find the good evangelical church, you know, like you can find the thing that you need. There's so many options out there. Like if you want to stay Catholic and that's important to you, maybe this just isn't the right priest for you. And okay, maybe your kid's maybe about long, to have a better experience.
Long term, yes. But in the short term, you haven't gotten there quite yet, but you got to get your kid in fucking school.
Right.
Like what's she going to do?
Right. Ben, so, fix, yeah.
Fix it, Ben.
Bring it to a potluck. All what right. are you going to bring? I'm thinking corn dogs. I'm thinking kettle chips. I'm thinking.
You're not thinking an Irish potluck.
No.
So, a couple things. First off, totally understand the anger and the reaction.
Yes. Totally.
Making a decision from that place is not the best way to make a decision.
God, he's so smart.
Do the work that it takes to calm down, recenter,
right.
find the judgments. I'm sure there's plenty of things to be judging in that. Right. I'm upset because mm-hmm. blank. There's your judgment. Work to forgive that.
Mm.
To help find a centered space.
Right.
Next thing that comes to mind, signs and wonders, right? That's a that's a religious term, right? Follow the signs and the wonders.
I love it.
Is this a sign and a wonder?
Ooh.
Is this the type of person that you want your children to relate to? Is this right. somebody that you want in control, or not in control, but in support of your spiritual growth?
Mm.
Everybody has bad days, right?
Right.
Maybe this dude was just having a bad day.
Mm.
So if from a calm space, you feel empowered to have a conversation with the priest and to say, hey, you know, I just want to talk about our last conversation.
Right.
Here was my experience of that conversation. You know, again, owning, mm-hmm. not blaming, but mm-hmm. owning, this is what I experienced from that. This is why that is not okay with me.
Right.
Are you willing to have a conversation about how we might relate to each other in a more polite and loving manner?
Right. Which is kind of giving him a second chance right. or suggesting.
So
right.
in that case, you may be able to find, you know, a way back in there and feel comfortable uh-huh. and feel good again. But ultimately, you know.
Or in the short term, get that paper signed.
Or in the short term, get that paper signed.
And then look for a new place. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you really got to look at, you know, priests are spiritual dicks. Leaders.
Oh,
are,
no. Okay. Spiritual okay. leaders. No. I thought it was just.
Priests
they
are.
Have dicks, he said.
because women aren't allowed.
Right. To have dicks.
Yeah. What?
Or to be priests.
Oh, God. Right. Sorry. Yeah. Focus. How am I supposed to know? Whatever.
But regardless, if you are in a relationship with somebody as a spiritual advisor, as somebody who is in the care of your soul,
right?
That's what these people are supposed to be.
Right.
If you don't feel perfectly comfortable and safe with that person, that's not the right person for you.
Yeah. What was it again? Tricks and wonders?
Signs and wonders.
Tricks and wonders.
Signs
and wonders. Signs and wonders. I love that. So many good things.
And then also... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, because I was just going to say, and then also just take comfort in knowing that that fucking priest is being really judgy and he's probably going to go to hell.
Fuck that guy.
Right?
Fuck him in the asshole.
Allison. What? Stop.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you want both pieces of the pie, right? Like, you want spiritual guru and you want fuck him in the asshole.
Him to go to hell.
Right. Like, don't we want everything?
It's all about being holistic, right? That's the full spectrum.
Right.
We're the worst people to have a podcast
it
like this.
It is It is true. It is true.
What
actually,
is true?
You're the best people to have a podcast like this because spirituality is oftentimes too stuck up and not enough. Like, spirituality is everywhere all the time, every day anyway, but we don't look at it that way.
Right.
We look at it as this special set aside woo-woo thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where you have to be all prim and proper and you can't say bullshit or fuck or whatever it is.
Right.
That you, got, you know, whatever happens on the, but that's real life and spirituality is real life.
I feel like I'm a pretty spiritual person. I have a lot of my own spiritual beliefs and things, but I'm definitely not woohoo wow fancy.
Well, it's funny, our friend Ian Gary said this about, we said this when Galavan was on the show, is that he was like, you know, Allison, a lot of people don't know this about you, but you're actually a very nice, thoughtful person.
It's true. It's true.
So maybe people don't know.
Remember, I tell people, I'm sure I've said this on the show. I've said that you're like a piece of shit with a gold nugget in the middle. And I mean that in the most flattering way.
Well, I don't know if this is a fun fact. So when I first got sober, I dated a born-again Christian.
You did?
Yeah, I never told you that.
Wow.
It was amazing.
What was he going through that he was drawn to
you? Let me tell you what the big fucking problem was. And like I said, I didn't have a point of... He had this big... I didn't know he was a born-again Christian until we started. Because I'm pretty sure I had already slept with him. And then he was like, by the way. So he had all of these tenets that he was supposed to be living by. He was like, I'm saved. We don't believe in smoking or drinking or having sex. And I was like, fucking, you're not doing well, you know?
Right.
But he had believed that because he had been saved, he had gone through the process that he was going to heaven. And he would always say to me that he would be like, I mean, this was like in all earnestness. He'd say like, I love you so much. And I just feel so bad because like, you're going to hell.
Welcome to my family.
And,
I'm equally yoked.
And the thing that was crazy about that is I was starting to be in like recovery. And so I was definitely praying and I definitely had like a meditation process and I definitely was trying, you know, I was living all of these like ostensibly Christian principles and he was living this huge lie and he would tell me all the time how he felt so bad for me because I was going to hell and I was just like, it just doesn't seem reasonable. Like, and so ultimately, I mean, at the end of the day, let's be honest, I cheated on him and it just like didn't work out because I was just like, it's too much. I mean, it was like suffocating. I can't deal with this all the time.
Why is like, obviously, I cheated on him.
I was just like, we've had this conversation a million times. When are you going to get the hint? So I just ended up cheating on him and then it was fine. But so
it probably wasn't fine, but go ahead.
But like that was, you know, his perception. It was weird because like I actually am accidentally living sort of like spiritual principles, I guess, in my life. It's weird.
Yeah, it is kind of true.
Well, and that could also have been a classic projection example. That
what do you
there
mean?
You are living the tenets that he espouses
right.
to live. There he is not.
Right.
And so his deep concern about you and your soul and you going to hell could very well be because he knows within himself that he's not living it.
Right.
And it's easier to put that on you than it is to actually do the work to look at yourself.
Oh my God, he would have saved me from having to cheat on
him with
another guy.
When you're pointing at someone, there's four fingers pointing back at you.
That's right. You guys. Mm-hmm. So Ben, you said you have a question that you want us to answer.
I do. And it's maybe a little bit more of a general question.
Go on.
But a lot of people, and I've had some bouts of this recently.
Okay.
Have a hard time with perfectionism.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. I'm the worst. I cleaned my whole bathroom before you got here.
I assumed, I noticed it was very clean. Actually, the toilet bowl cleaner in the toilet with
sorry,
the blue
I
water.
I'm sorry, I just realized, I'm like, oh, there's people coming over here that aren't Dana. I don't know when I cleaned my bathroom. I didn't do the floor, and I'm sorry if you saw that. I'm really,
I didn't
you
notice
leave?
The floor.
Okay,
no, I didn't
going.
Notice the floor, but I just felt very well cared for.
You did? Okay,
thank you. That's
nice. So perfectionism is fine. Keep going. No, keep going.
So what for you have you found is effective in dealing with those experiences of perfectionism mm-hmm. for you? How do you work through those? What makes that doable for you?
I'm having like a strong emotional response to this. So is it okay if I go first?
Sure.
So I don't know. So we've done a couple episodes that you guys haven't heard yet. So just to catch up really quick, my husband's been in and out of the hospital the last 2 weeks and we have a small child. She's 15 months old and our family lives in Chicago. And so in this week, and I'm definitely someone who struggles with OCD, this is, you know, one of the things I realized this year is that I struggle with this. This is how things are done. this is the way we do things. And number one, it puts me in conflict with other people a lot because they're not acting what I find to be really simple. Like, this is just a general reasonable response that anyone would have to this question or issue or whatever it is. And so I so struggle with that because I'm like, this is how things go. And so with my husband in the hospital this week, I have done literally everything that I'm supposed to do. You know, my child is care. I mean, literally, it was so funny. It was like 2 weeks ago. I don't think you were here, Dana. We had to cancel. My husband was just admitted to the hospital. I was literally at the library with my kid when I found out. He like drove himself to the emergency room. I got care, like within 3 hours, I had like care for my child. And like in the midst of all of this, like communicating with my family from home, trying to get, I decided to bake banana bread. Like that, I was just, it's crazy, right? Like I'm like, and also, doesn't everybody need fresh bread? Let me just bake some bread. Like it's just insane, right? Like everything's fine, everything's great, everything's perfect. I'm just, my house was spotless. There was fresh baked bread. Zoe was cared for. I was at the hospital when I needed to be. I was home when I needed to be. Her schedule wasn't interfered with at all. What happens for me though, is I have such rigid control with, if which you think about like the concept of God, right? It's a little bit of like giving it, turning it over, giving it up, letting some sort of other spirit into your life, right? And it's hard to do that when you're kind of running the show. You know, you've got your hands on the wheel and you're like, fuck everyone, you know, like I got it. And it's a little bit, I think any religion or spirituality is the idea of something else exists that isn't me, right? Mm-hmm. And I find myself to be sort of capable, right? Which is sometimes why smart people don't believe in God, is because they have these really clear ideas of intellectually why this stuff is all here. We don't need to come up with some other idea for it. It's pretty straightforward. And so if you're like sort of capable or educated, maybe it's like the idea of a God isn't significant to you because you're able to do whatever you need to do. What happens for me is I get so anxious and so bogged down. I have found that I need something else, that I need God, whatever you want to call it, to sort of have those moments, you know, you were talking about like some people don't like that word God, you know, like whatever. I'm just too lazy. That's the word I use. For me, I need something else, sort of like meditative, you know, those, whatever that is, like, oh, I had an intuition. Oh, I had a whatever that was. And I can't get those messages if I'm in such rigid control. And so we've talked before about like wherever you find God, just go there, whatever that is. If, you know, I know if I'm like exercising and then I'm cooling down afterwards, or even sometimes like you were talking about it, looking food. Like, I don't have to be in a temple with, like, flowers and, like, flowing water. If I'm on an elliptical and I have really loud rap music in my ears and it's, like, I'm zoned out, that counts for me. You know, if I can just get myself to a place. I'm, like, so – we've talked about meditation before. Like, I'm so unwilling to meditate that I will take a 90-minute yoga class to have forced shavasana at the end just to
That's
have
a sin.
five minutes of forced meditation before I just sit down for 5 minutes, you know? So for me, I think – getting rid of perfectionism is a sense of letting go, you know, and trusting that things are going to be taken care of and it doesn't have to necessarily be my idea. And so every time I'm like, you know, this seems crazy, right? My husband's in the hospital and I'm baking banana bread. That's unreasonable, right? Like, that's maybe my cue to like slow down, regroup, try to get centered and see where my next place is that I'm supposed to go.
Right.
Because then, when I feel myself getting into that perfectionist thing, I can no longer hear the voices of my friends and family. Like, I am so on the path of this is the way we do things. It's all going to be fine. Who wants banana bread? I can't
hear. And then
hear.
I go, I do. I take half of it home.
That's true.
It happened.
True. And I can't hear what my husband's really asking for because I've just decided what he needs. I can't hear that my child is hungry because I've decided she's tired, you know? And right. So for me, it is. And it's the hardest thing for a perfectionist to do is they want to have the control and they want to like know how to do everything.
You know, what's interesting is I'm the opposite of that type of perfectionist.
Right.
So to come at it from a different perspective, mm-hmm. in a more superficial level, perspective wise, I am a perfectionist to the point that I don't feel like I'm ever going to do it right. So I'd rather give it to somebody else. Mm. So I don't have the control issues. Mm-hmm. So like, I've had to come to peace with like finding a middle ground between like my house looks like it could be on Jerry Springer versus spotless, because I have a child that lives in my home, right. And that's beautiful. So right. There's a middle ground there. Mm-hmm. And then also coming at it from the perspective of a writer, because obviously you write. I was trained in the Groundlings, and one of the things that we had to do was turn out material very quickly. So I didn't have time really to judge. I couldn't mm-hmm. be the kind of writer that was like really hashing over and being a perfectionist over what I wrote. I had to get something out and then I could come back and fix it. And so this is something that happens in with me and Paul. You know, dig in the cat box. He likes to dig in the cat mm-hmm. box and just, you know, dig and dig and dig on one thing. And my whole thing is you have to have a frame to build a house.
Right.
So I have learned in writing to get rid of my perfectionism by going, just get a framework out there, get an idea, an outline, write something that you may have to throw away, but mm-hmm. that's okay because you're going to learn from it. And then what comes next or what you come back to is what's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, using that first instinct, except that you have a child in your home and your house is not going to be spotless. And you don't have to get on your hands and knees and wipe the floor, Allison. Because you have a child.
I have literally.
It's beautiful to have a family.
But let me tell you why I'm so fucked up. So I will wipe the floor after my kid eats, because she sits right here in a high chair and I wipe the whole floor down. I can't tell you how many times she has then come running over and slipped.
I know.
Because I just wiped the floor. I am so obsessed, though, with the clean floor that I will have my kid run and fall every time she's done eating. It's like a part of her meal at this point.
I know. I've seen it.
Because I can't stop cleaning the floor. And that's just, you know, and cleanliness, you know, like I'm OCD, whatever. I don't think right now, like right now, I'm like, I'm so sorry. My house is in shambles. No. I'm so sorry that you guys are here under these states. But it's a false sense of control, right? Like, whereas if the floor is clean.
My kid goes to bed at night and he's like, Mommy, my feet are black again. And I'm like, we have a happy home, don't we?
And I think really what we're both kind of saying is like trying to find the balance, yeah, right? Like, because yeah. the perfectionism is just
it's a roadblock, to be honest.
Yeah.
For creativity, and it's just a symptom. Your life.
You yeah. know, like when it's like false happiness. It's like if everything's perfect, it's all gonna be okay. And it's like probably not.
No.
You know, which is why there is that, you know, cliche of like the perfect home and the perfect family. And mm-hmm. then it's like you go inside and everybody's like the windows are all broken on the inside and it's all like fucked up.
Because
yeah. if it looks good on the outside, it must be good on the inside.
Ugh, you're so bad at saying.
All I'm saying is you always want to bring corn dogs to the potluck. That's what I'm trying to say.
And all I'm saying is sometimes you cut a huge chunk out of your kid's hair and he's bald in a spot for a while. Did we fix you, super enlightened
people?
Do you feel better?
Yes, I do. I think it's...
Well, he's like, at least I'm not them.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. Feel better by comparison.
Go on.
No, comparison is not good. But yeah, no, finding the middle ground is a good reminder, not just for me, but for everybody.
Right.
One of the reasons I wanted to ask that question is because I assume that that's something that everybody has to deal with to one degree or another.
Yeah.
And whether or guys you or not you guys recognize it, you do provide a lot of great feedback.
Nice. Because we called the Absolute Worst Podcast because yeah. we're pretty sure that we're not really helping anybody.
Right.
We have not achieved our goals of being licensed professional therapists. Mm-mm. And in fact, it's just a way for Dana to steal a loaf of bread from me once a week.
Half a loaf, you bitch.
So now I know you speak and do things. Are you speaking somewhere that people can come hear you, or just do we see you online, or how does this work? How do people stalk you?
Yeah.
Well, you can stalk me at benjamison.com.
Great.
My website there.
Just so we know, not spelled like the alcohol. I know that's what everybody thought initially. It's Jamison, not E like the delicious Irish
Correct.
Whiskey.
And we'll have it in our show notes.
We obviously. Will, of course.
Yes. So at benjamison.com, you can buy my book there. You can find videos of some of the recent talks that I've done.
I watched them. They're great.
The Valentine's Day.
We talked about
so
the
great.
Eclipse.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't have any speaking arrangements in Southern California in the near future, okay. but I will be working on that as well.
You will after this show. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Stop stripping.
Sorry.
Go no, ahead. Keep stripping. No, my wife's here, so.
Right. Double
it's
deal.
It's a family affair.
Two for one, motherfucker.
it's a family.
But no, with your international audience, I should be getting speaking gigs all over.
You'll be in Ireland before you know it. Don't you worry.
I really hope we get there before you do, only because we've been doing it longer.
I don't even care if you go. We'll be your opening act. It'll be perfect.
God, for sure.
It'll be perfect.
And then you can be like, here's how to fix everything they told you.
You guys, so we're going to end, except then Sherry's going to sing, and that's going to be our outro music.
Do we need an Eva's Corner?
No, I haven't said anything.
Yeah, because I said fuck you to that priest.
Is that wrong?
Ugh, Neva's Corner. Hi, Grandmama. Sorry I said fuck you to that priest.
Neva, do you like gay people? Does she not? Oh, boy.
Neva's
Corner.
No, she doesn't. She's one of the people in my family that's accepting. The end.
Sherry, would you say just based on that song that I'm a pretty good singer?
No. She's the nicest person you're ever going
to
meet.
She's just crying right now. Ben, I'm going to say something to you that I would never say to Dana.
Oh, this is interesting.
I love you.
I love you too.
I feel like you meant it to him.
Dana.
What?
I'll say this to you, but don't look me in the eyes.
Close my eyes?
Look at the floor. Just close your eyes. I love you.
Ugh. Don't whisper it. Wrong.
You just say it. You're better at it.
Allison.
What?
I just want to hear Sherry sing. Do I have to tell you I love you first?
It's up to your feelings and what God tells you.
I love you.
Bye.
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 I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on. The joy.